Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you for joining us. One of Hollywood's most visible and vocal actresses is in hot water again. It's something that she said. At the time of this recording, ABC decided to cancel the Roseanne Barr show because of a comment she made. Joining us to discuss the matter is historian Brian Rogers. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
The comment goes something like this that Barr tweeted.
She said that former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett looked like the offspring of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet of the Apes. And once the tweet was posted, Wanda Sykes, you know, comedian, funny, funny lady, was a writer on the show, and she tweeted that she would not return to the show. And then Roseanne apologized, removed the tweet, and said she was leaving Twitter. But the damage had been done, and about an hour or so later, ABC announced that they were canceling the show.
Now, the Roseanne Barr show returned with great fanfare, did exceptionally well in the ratings, and there was so much buzz about this show, and it touched off an entire conversation about bringing back shows that had done well before.
Right. It started a trend of revival TV. Shows like Will and Grace and some other shows, The X-Files, and a few other were in the works of being revived so that TV stations could, you know, they could make money off of these former hit shows. The Roseanne show had done so well. I think the opening, the premiere had 18 million viewers. And they had renewed it for a second season immediately after the first show premiered of the first season.
So this was not a function of poor performance.
No, this was not. This was a function of Roseanne being controversial and having controversial views. She's an avid Trump supporter and had made that known through some of her social media through her social media presence.
She has certainly not shied away from her support of President Trump. I've seen one of the shows, and it dealt with fostering relations, more positive relations between Americans and Muslims. In fact, in the show, Roseanne's character borrowed the internet from the next door neighbor, and it seemed to call for a softening in these harsh opinions. Wonder where this came from, this description of former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett.
Well, I have to be transparent. I've never seen any of the shows, not since the revival. But I think that the show is different from who Roseanne is as a person. You have people who write, and she's an actress, and she just simply recites lines. So those lines that she's reciting and the themes that are in the show may not even be a part of her, who she is as a person, because you had a diverse writing room. Wanda Sykes, who is a African-American lesbian woman, was a writer on this show. So when you get diversity in the writing room, you see different themes that are explored on the shows. But Roseanne herself, although she at one point in her life, she was, you know, a staunch liberal, I guess she bought or she drank the Trump Kool-Aid and she bought all in into the idea that the xenophobic and nationalistic ideas that Trump is using in order to rally his base.
And so she followed in the footsteps, really, of the president she admires. The president himself is quite a tweeter.
He is. And he says things that are questionable at best and downright racist if you know, look at them through the eyes of some of the groups that he's targeting.
Well, a tweet today from Roseanne Barr apparently led to ABC News's decision, ABC's decision, yeah. I should say, to cancel her show.
And I think one of the things that Americans get confused on is the concept of the First Amendment. Yes, we all have the right to freedom of speech. And yes, the First Amendment protects our freedom of speech, but it only protects our freedom of speech from the government. Your job can fire you if you say something that negatively affects your employer. I'm an employee of the state of Arkansas and the Department of Arkansas Heritage. So I am always careful that what I say doesn't negatively affect the state or the department, because I could be fired for that.
Many times it seems that civility is some anachronistic phenomenon. There's not much of it anymore in the way we speak to each other, the things we say about each other many times. And social media allows what we think and what we say to spread rapidly. And in the beauty of that technology is also a great responsibility.
I would agree. And I would add to that social media allows us to be anonymous when we say these things. It's one thing for me to say something to your face. It's a totally different thing if I'm saying it at my keyboard or from my iPhone.
And that does give you a sense of artificiality. You know, it doesn't seem as real as if, I'm sure, Roseanne Barr were saying that to Valerie Jarrett's face.
Right, right. It's almost as if the internet is my shield. I can say what I want and not have to deal with the immediate consequences of some of the things that are said. But I would say now, in the age of Trump, people are bolder about some of the things that they are saying. The lawyer from New York, I think his last name was Schlossenberg, who made those anti-Hispanic comments. Or we've seen the viral videos of the little old white women in Walmart who are saying these terribly racist things to people, and just feeling like they are immune from the consequences of their words. And I think that people have to be careful, and I think that we need to work towards some understanding of one another and being understanding of different cultures and different ethnic groups.
Well said. The headline again, the Roseanne Barr Show canceled following a controversial tweet that was posted by the star of the show, Roseanne Barr. You're listening to The Village Celebration. Our guest has been Brian Rogers. Okay, so now let's talk about Juneteenth.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad you're with us. One of my favorite guests of all time is with us, Brian Rogers, who is an historian and works for Little Rock's Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Vicki. You always seem to make me blush when I'm here.
Well, it's only the truth that I'm speaking. You all have a great Juneteenth celebration every year. What do you have planned this year?
Well, this year, we, as always, we want to make the next Juneteenth the biggest and best ever. And so this year, we have quite a celebration planned. Juneteenth is June 16th this year. It's always the third Saturday in September, according to legislation passed by the Arkansas legislature. We're starting at noon and we're going to 6 p.m. and we have a variety of things for young and old. As always, we'll have our Kids Zone this year, which is sponsored by the Friends of the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. And in the Friends Zone, we'll have a rock climbing wall, laser tag, face painting, a video game truck, and we're adding this year sumo wrestling.
Sumo wrestling?
Sumo wrestling. So we have a vendor that's bringing out padding, so you can put on the pads. It's kind of like a fat suit, and then you can spar with whoever else is in line.
But you're not wearing those little outfits those guys wear.
No.
Okay, very good. Yeah. That's very good. That's a visual we don't need. Hey, look, that sounds like great fun. The message, though, when you all roll out the red carpet the way you do to celebrate Juneteenth is?
Is that we want to continue to celebrate the end of slavery. We want to highlight the fact that Juneteenth is still relevant, and that we want people to learn what it's all about and to enjoy the celebration, but to celebrate with the knowledge that we are celebrating the heritage of people who suffered and lost, but still were able to find the good in the trials and tribulations that they faced.
Let's park right there, because of all the things that we as African Americans celebrate about our culture, I think that type of resilience and tenacity say so much about who we are.
I agree. One of the things that I've heard people say over and over again is that those of us who are African American, we are descendants of the strongest of the strong, because of all the millions of Africans that were forcefully transported from Africa to the New World, thousands of them died during the Middle Passage. And once they arrived in the Americas, thousands more died just from the labor.
The labor, the diseases.
The constant
the
work.
The heartbreak.
Right. You know, they worked from sunup to sundown 364 days a year. And they were most of them were given Christmas off. But it was right back to work the next day.
For not 5 years, not 10, not 50, not 100. We're talking
life.
For centuries,
yeah,
for a couple centuries.
The first Africans arrived in the New World in 1607, 1609, and slavery ended officially in 1865, although it was 1868 before the slaves in Galveston, Texas, received the good news, which is why we celebrate Juneteenth, because that is a recognition of Major General Granger of the Union Army arriving in Galveston Bay and making the announcement that the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued and that they were free.
So when you put it in that context, that is a cause for celebration if ever there were a cause for celebrating.
If there was ever a cause to celebrate, that is it. The fact that these people who had lived their entire lives to be considered property of another human being were told that they were free.
Mm.
And a lot of the formerly enslaved people did not know what to do next.
Well, I can understand.
Right. You've lived your entire life as a slave, and now overnight you're free.
Where do we start?
What does freedom even mean at that point? And so a lot of the slaves in the Texas area, they went in search of their loved ones who had been separated, whether by selling off the kids or running away or wherever the separation came from. They went in search of those loved ones. And that's how the Juneteenth celebration spread to the states immediately surrounding Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And then from there, it just kind of continued to go on. And so Juneteenth is celebrated in many, many of the states of the United States now.
For a while there, it really was not celebrated in a lot of states. But even the idea of celebrating Juneteenth has caught on and spread in the past several years.
And here's an interesting fact about that. Most African Americans celebrated Juneteenth prior to World War II. It was only they would either celebrate Juneteenth or Emancipation Day, which was January 1st.
So what happened?
In an effort to prove to the majority that they were good Americans during World War II during the midst of the Civil Rights Movement, they started to celebrate the 4th of July to show that they were patriots too. And so Juneteenth at that point took a back seat to the 4th of July.
I see. Well, a big celebration at Mosaic Templars Cultural Center for Juneteenth. And the dates again are?
June 16th from noon to 6 p.m. It's free. We'll have Kid Zone, vendors, food trucks, and our headline artist this year is Shanice of the I Love Your Smile, Shanice.
Okay.
Yeah, she's our headline artist for this
year. What time does she perform?
She will perform about 5:30.
Okay, sounds great. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki.
And thank you for joining us for the Village Celebration.